If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to ask that you turn to Psalms 13, verses 1 through 6. Now, I'm going to warn you that you're going to be out of church very early this morning. Very early. In 30-some years of preaching, I do not think I've ever had a message as short as this one. As I started to do the message, I began to think of all kinds of things I could say, and all of a sudden, I ran out of words. And in the words of Elmer Fudd, that's all, folks. And there were no more. So, it's a simple message. It's a short message. Hopefully, it will be a meaningful message. Psalms 13 was written by David. And he drafted these words to the Lord. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain? Let's try that one again. How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or will I sleep the sleep of death? And my enemies will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. What is a long time? A year? 10 years? 100 years? 1,000 years? The answer to this question is, it all depends. We live in an increasingly impatient world. We want and expect everything right now. We pray, Lord, give me patience and give them to me right now. We want and expect everything. I've found myself, when I feel like I'm running late and need something off the computer, of becoming impatient. Liz can testify to this yesterday. I feel that the world is ganging up on me when the computer response time is slow. I find myself yelling at the computer to hurry up. And in reality, it's probably only taking a couple seconds longer than normal to get going. There's a saying, a week is a long time in politics. And that illustrates how quickly things can change in that area of life. For some things, time really seems to drag. For others, it just flies. In fact, time can be both flying and dragging for us at the same time when we think about different situations and areas of our life. What we see to be a long time also varies throughout our life. When I was 6, a term in school lasted forever. Now that I'm 71, a year seems to go by as quickly as that term did back then. But whatever age we are, when we're missing somebody or something, or when we are desperate for something to happen, the shortest delay seems to be like a long time. And this was the experience of David. He was going through a deep valley of loneliness in his experience of God. The Lord seemed so far away. God seemed so far away that to David, it felt as though God had forgotten him. Forgotten him, the humble servant who God had raised up to be king over his people. It seemed as though he was getting no response whatsoever to his prayers or to his worship. It was as if the Lord was not just ignoring him, but actively hiding from him. And David was desperate for the fellowship of the God that he had known before. It seemed to have been a long time since he was conscious of the Lord's attention and presence. Not only was he going through a deep valley spiritually, but it seems that there were other problems as well that were contributing to his despondency and feelings of abandonment. Perhaps other people were getting at him. Maybe all he could see were problems and difficulties, no matter where he looked. He prayed, but nothing seemed to change. God appeared to be doing nothing. Time was really dragging. David was missing the one thing that he loved the most. He was missing that which gave him the most joy and fulfillment. It caused him to cry out in desperation and impatience, "How long? How much longer would he be abandoned?" And God seemed so distant, so far. Three times he cried out in his confusion and bewilderment to God. How could the Lord, whom he had served so faithfully, seem so far, so distant, and to be ignoring him? And then he cried out again. How long would the adverse circumstances that he was facing continue? Nothing was going right. And nothing, it seemed, had gone right for a very long time. Most of us, I believe, can identify with David here. We feel or have felt that God is so far away. We feel as though he is so distant. We feel as though we have no contact with him. And for many of us, it seems that these times go on forever. Many people would have given up. Many people would have concluded that God had abandoned them forever. Many people would have given up and just shrugged their shoulders. They would have tried to carry on with life on their own. Perhaps they were filled with resentment against God for allowing them to stay in those circumstances. Or maybe they would have doubted God. They may have doubted his desire to help. They may have questioned his love for them. Some may even have doubted his very existence. Many would have become cynical and weary of life. However, David's response was different. Instead of doubting or becoming cynical, he continued to trust and pray. He prayed to the Lord, who many would have said had abandoned him. He prayed to the Lord, who he knew was the only one who could have rescued him from the dire circumstances in which he found himself. He prayed to the Lord that he would be given light in the dark circumstances of his life. He knew that the Lord was the only giver of light. He knew that one tiny ray of light from the light of the world would have completely changed the whole situation. And he was still aware of his difficult circumstances. David was still aware of all of his problems, but he still trusted that the Lord was in charge. He trusted in the Lord who was greater than any problem that he had. He did not just call for deliverance for his own benefit, but also because he did not want the reputation of the Lord to suffer before non-believers. He did not want his enemy, whether it was a person or a just difficult circumstance, to appear to have won and overcome the power of the Lord. He was still zealous for the reputation of the Lord. David wanted the Lord to be glorified in the eyes of the world. After his prayer came trust. He had trusted in the Lord in the past. He had seen God's power. He had seen his care and his interest in his servant. And even in this desert time, when God seemed so distant, when everything was going wrong, when life was a drudgery, David was able to rejoice. He was able to rejoice for two reasons. First, he looked back in joy to the times of the past, when God had been so close to him that he could almost touch him. David could look back to those great times as spiritual blessing and feasting. The remembrance of those times would be a joy and a refreshment for David. But secondly, he could look forward to the joy and the future times of blessing. He could look with joy to the future times when he would, with firsthand experience, feel the deliverance of God. He could look with joy to the times he knew would be coming. He knew that the Lord had promised his salvation, and he knew that God would keep his word. The times of trouble and the times of suffering, the times of lack of blessing, the times of feeling abandoned by God seemed to David to take so long. They seemed to drag on and on. But he knew that the Lord would honor his word. Again, we can identify with David in his desert times. We've all known the wilderness. Perhaps some of us are in it at this very moment. Perhaps God seems so far away. Maybe God even appears to have abandoned us. Maybe we feel as though everything is wrong in our life. Perhaps we're desperately thirsty for a blessing. But it seems that none ever comes. The situation might seem to be going on and on for a long, long time. May appear to be dragging on indeterminately. We might be in despair that things will never get better. And in those times, when God seems so far away, let us follow the example of David, who continued to trust. Let us follow the example of David, who continued to pray. He did not always necessarily pray in quiet, reverent, and churchy language. Sometimes he cried out desperately, "How long?" We need to make our prayers clear and plain. Let us also look backwards and let us look forwards. Let us look backward to those times of blessing and spiritual refreshment of the past. Let us also look forward to the times of blessings that are yet to come. Desert places are common in our spiritual lives. There are times when God seems either to be absent or ignoring us. There are different reasons for these. Many of them are due to us. But, like David, we can be assured that refreshment will come. I'm going to have a video played of a song. I'm very much into Gaithers, and this is one of the Gaither songs. And it says, "I will pray for you." And as a body of believers, let us pray for one another. When we don't know exactly what's going on in our lives, let's turn to somebody that we can trust, a brother and sister in the Lord, somebody in a Sunday school class, a staff member, a member of the elders, somebody that you can say, "I don't know what's going on, but pray for me." If we are in the desert now, let us pray to God. Let us trust God. He will return to us, and he will give us refreshment.